our lives and truth, to know what it means. Father, stone that is being fixed in.
Dear brethren, all of us realize that we live during a time of great danger and anxiety.
I teraz na tej obecność zawodowaną początku przez
ever-present lies are an everyday occurrence. They are used by politicians, media, etc. This plague of lies has invaded our lives to the point that we are used to them, and their presence in everyday life is considered normal.
I tak dalej. Jak wiele nasze życie traci z powodu kłamstwa.
Lies associated with religion and many other aspects of life poison whole societies. All these, though, having different roots and reasons, resemble each other as they seek their own interests. The bad man wants to be considered good. The stupid one wants to be considered wise. And the thief wants to pretend to be honest. The convict wants to be innocent, etc. We are unable to enumerate the advantages that could be achieved if the world would have dispensed with his uncleanliness, lies. Many institutions, courts, and governmental institutions would be unnecessary. Lies, on the other hand, are very expensive. Individuals lie to each other, and whole societies and nations continue to deceive one another. Wherever we look, we meet with lying and its consequences. Many deceive many, and all lie about everything. Frightened and often scorched by the surrounding evil resulting from lying, we often turn in our thoughts and longings to the opposite, to the truth. The thinking man searches for truth regarding his beginning, considers the present evil order of things, and most of all tries to discern what awaits him in the future. Confused people with many mutually exclusive theories desire to search and to get to know the truth. Is it possible for a man who is unaware of the Word of God, on the basis of his own knowledge and using only his own mind, to recognize the truth regarding his beginning and the purpose of his life? Surely he cannot. Let us make it into a hypothesis. The truth totally corresponds to the facts. Facts are the truths received from a pure, absolute source. Somebody portrayed our whole life and its search for meaning as a struggle with death. He compared it to a funeral procession. Can a funeral procession turn into a procession of joy? Before we answer this question on the basis of the absolute source, the Holy Word, we will review the basic truths connected with the beginning of man and his purpose in life as well as his future. What is the truth regarding the beginning of man on earth? The Bible answers this question clearly. God created man in the likeness of God, Genesis 5:1. John the Revelator adds that, quote, he created him perfect. Thus the theory about evolution, searching the beginning of man in monkeys, takes away from the dignity of man and is a lie. The theory of reincarnation is a lie as well. The theory of reincarnation was known in Greek philosophy and stated that the spark of human, plant, or animal life after its death takes on another body depending on merits. Perhaps Jesus wanted to disprove this particular theory that his appearances after his resurrection were always as a man. The theory of an immortal soul is also a tragic lie. Early in the era of Paleolithic, man attempted to solve the mystery of death by faith in immortality. He would bury everyday objects with a dead body. The early stages of Buddhism taught different ways about the victory over death and evil through entering the state of nirvana, described as a state of immortality and great happiness. Many are familiar with the beliefs of Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans, stating that death is not the end of life. In the canonical book of Islam, the Quran, death is treated as a critical moment for the human soul, which exists even after human life is taken. The results of this lie can be observed daily. We all come from Adam. We are part of a great family. No one presently living has ever seen a perfect human being. Hospitals are filled up with the sick and the suffering ones. Nursing homes are overflowing with old people. There is no room in prisons, and streets are crowded with people. All of the above are imperfect. Why is it? Was obedience to God's rules so difficult to achieve for the first human couple? The extremely suggestive lie of Satan, "Ye shall not surely die," caused them to be expelled from paradise. They started to feed themselves using imperfect nourishment, and they were slowly dying. The consequences of this lie, so tragic and painful, have been felt by millions through the ages. God, in His unfailing love, softened this lot by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. The truth. Why did Jesus become a man? Why did the loving Heavenly Father permit humiliation and suffering of His beloved Son? Quote, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. The powerful nature of this event is hard to comprehend. We could never have enough gratitude to the Lord God for this expression of love toward men. If we were only to assume that as a result of Jesus' activities, death will be destroyed, the greatest enemy of man, the result of the sin of lying, this would be the fulfillment of all efforts and dreams of thousands of people. If additionally we look into the promised blessings of happiness, worry-free life, harmonious and full of love for God, can we really fully imagine that? Are we able to imagine even a greater blessing of belonging to the special bride of Christ? Jesus, in front of Pilate, answered his question, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." John 18:37. Pilate, who did not understand the answer, posed another question, "What is truth?" Jesus, praying to the Heavenly Father, said, "Thy word is truth." Using Jesus' statement, we will attempt to notice the association between facts regarding man's beginning, his purpose in life, and his future. Although we do not claim the absolute interpretation of the Word of God, we all notice the beauty of the divine plan of the ages. Hosea 2:18 says, "In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven and of the ground." We will probably differ in the interpretation of particulars of this prophecy. However, as the beauty of the rainbow depends on the harmonious connection of colors, the picture of the promised future inspires us with hope and joy. The Bible, the Word of God, recorded by people whose minds were influenced by God, is the inexhaustible source of truth and answers for all the searching questions and doubts. It depends on our searching and the strength of our desires to resolve the questions. The Creator reveals truth in His Word. He tells us about events that happened in the past and things that will happen in the future. For the ones who are searching and those who are in the truth, His Word is the pointing rod which shows how to behave in order to find yourself in His kingdom, how to live so that you can inherit eternal life. Jesus, who is now calling and electing His church, prepares us for the great work of restitution, times of renewal of all things. Quote, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. One of the prophets wrote in Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." We know that it is only through His death that Jesus could redeem mankind. Were He to remain in the state of death, the possibility of salvation and freeing people would be lost. He could not have said, quote, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free," as well as, "Because I live, you shall live also." He paid the price of His human life for a ransom for all mankind, so that all people in due time can benefit from His ransom sacrifice. Jesus was raised from the dead and entered heaven. God raised Him not as a man, but as a spiritual being, having the divine nature. Quote, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Revelation 1:18. Jesus' resurrection is a guarantee that all who died will be raised from death. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming. 1 Corinthians 15:23. As in Adam all die, so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. Verse 22. Resurrection implies awakening to life. For the faithful ones, that occurs in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. It is perfectly logical to deduce from the Holy Word that there are grades of salvation. It is up to the individual which place in the resurrection he or she will be assured. Jesus came to us, His brethren, with a joyful gospel that, quote, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And just before His death, He told the disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14, verse 3. Longing of the heart. I think that every one of us has experienced the feeling of longing that cannot be measured by the visible world. When our hearts and minds long for true joy and true peace that is unattainable on this earth. Even when we have an illusion of happiness, when we are with people that we love and who love us, or when we are surrounded by beauty, we do not lack anything. If we deeply consider the above promise, then we understand what kind of mansion we are longing for. This longing was found in the heart of the young man who came to Jesus with a question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Luke 18:18, New American Standard. He had many possessions. He was young, healthy, and probably well situated in society. One can be rich and at the same time pious. One can have many earthly possessions and yet have a feeling of missing something, a feeling of poverty and longing for the heavenly kingdom. It did not occur to this young man that one can comply with all of the commandments and yet lack some things that cannot pass through the needle's ear, needle's eye. The young man was not so bad, since the Lord loved him in spite of it. Whoever thinks that the Lord can love somebody for everything and not in spite of all things is in gross error. And although the young man left, saddened by the Lord's remark, he could come back and get to know Jesus. Truth should transform us. The knowledge of the truth should transform and keep on transforming our life. The Apostle Paul is a beautiful example of such change. He was a rich, well-educated man, a citizen of Rome that wanted to live in accordance with the professed principles. His actions were the reflection of values that he kept precious to his heart. He actively and zealously persecuted those that favored the new doctrine, being merciless in their treatment. The same enthusiasm and determination he showed when he converted, he was ready to face any persecution and even death. In his statement before King Agrippa, he is an example of rare heroism and courage. Festus called his confession maddening, while Paul answered him, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Acts 26:25. The truth should strengthen the positive features of our character. The truth should develop in us fruits of the Spirit. And especially in the present time of confusion and coldness, the spirit of sympathy and love toward neighbors. Let us not only differentiate between good and evil, but also between justice and injustice, and as much as we can, live according to those professed principles. We do not expect admiration or understanding in the eyes of the world when we walk the way of righteousness and live in accord with the believed principles. Spiritual standards. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. The world, ourselves, and the Lord have all different measuring standards. How long have we been longing for this occasion in Polynesia? We have had plans and hopes connected to this event. Can we define further what we hoped for, thinking about Polynesia 2004? Were we longing to meet our dear brethren, longing to talk sincerely to them, longing for peace and the calming influence that these days spent at Jesus' feet will bring us? We long for a joy that would spread in our hearts as our goal is reached. Let's not forget, however, that the primary goal of this get-together is to glorify our God and His Son, as well as the realization that we need to learn, recollect, and treasure something, or change something in our lives. Make a new resolution. We have made many arrangements in order to be present here, and can stay in this pretty place for a few days. How much more careful should we be in making arrangements for our eternity? Whoever feels longing for something better, higher and more perfect than what is in this world, will surely recognize Jesus' words about the kingdom and the Father's house as the most beautiful and precious in the gospel of salvation. Ephesians 1:13. Establishment of the kingdom. Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18:36. The kingdom will not be established until the church is selected. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. Let us add that the preaching of the kingdom is not to convert the world, but for a witness. And the end of the world is the end of present evil system, Satan's government. Quote, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." He told them a parable. "Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. The revelation of times and seasons is very useful and encourages us." We are living during the time of special blessings for the church, as well as the last dying moments, sufferings of the passing world, falling of nominal Christendom, where some are looking to religion to reestablish moral stability. This is only another of Satan's propaganda. Quote, "And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 16:13. It is only at the presence of the Lord that, quote, all the men upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Ezekiel 38:20. After that, the final display of God's wrath will occur. Unmasking and falling of many centuries of the evil system. And there were voices, and thunders, and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Revelation 16:18-19. It is only after these events, or during these events, that the voice of the Lord from Israel will reach all people. The visible sign will be the resurrection of the prophets. The Lord will calm down the elements and restore the lost paradise, what was lost. The resurrection. A beautiful picture of the resurrection of the Old Testament prophets we find in the miracle that Jesus performed resurrecting a young man from Nain, Luke 7:11-17. Soon after healing the centurion's servant, Jesus proclaimed the truth about the heavenly kingdom. There were walking with him disciples and many people. When they reached a city gate, Nain, quote, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. In the funeral procession, there were many people, picturing the whole world of 6,000 years. And the stopping of the funeral by the Lord pictures the stopping of the dying process. Isaiah 2:2-3 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion represents a spiritual phase of the kingdom, the glorified church, head and body. From the earthly capital of the kingdom, from Jerusalem, the law of the Lord will come forth. Quote, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Psalm 45:16. Quote, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Zechariah 8:23. The new covenant will be established, and maybe some of the Jews will still be going back to their homeland. The 10 men asking for help might represent 10 representatives of the European nations. Anti-Semitism, which is now increasing, will disappear, and the whole mentality of people will change as they will desire the blessings from Israel. Restitution, the earthly phase of the kingdom, will convince many. However, there will be those who will not accept the new order of things. Some will need a special encouragement in the form of difficulties, pictured by a symbolical iron rod. At this time, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. God's authority will execute the arrangements and commandments of the new world. This process is pictured in the healing of Naaman by Elisha in the Old Testament. The leprous Naaman did not get healed instantly, but ultimately, he carried out the assignment to immerse himself 7 times in Jordan. His body became clean again as the body of a baby. The 3 examples of resurrection performed by Jesus, Jairus' daughter, the son of a widow, and Lazarus, could represent 3 types of resurrection: the church, the ancient worthies, and the whole world. The truths about death and resurrection, as well as the resurrection and restitution of the whole world, were prominent in the apostles' teachings after the descent of the Holy Spirit, Acts 3:21. These truths contain the purpose and goal of human life. Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Mark 13:31. The Apostle Peter adds, quote, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." 2 Peter 3:13. We are waiting for the spiritual phase of the kingdom, the glorified church, the power of the kingdom, as well as for a newly organized society in God's kingdom based on truth, love, and justice. Quote, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven." Psalm 85:10-11. Godly endurance. We have seen throughout mankind's history wonderful individuals who, faced with life or death as a price for truth or lie, choose truth and death. Among us there was no lack of brethren who, by choosing truth, paid the price of imprisonment, health, or death. In their transcendence, a great truth was expressed, that man is of divine origin, and thus he can be free even when faced with the threat of violence or death. I would like to evoke an example of a man, a leader fighting for a unification of his country, who said the following to a crowd of young people, quote, "Do you know what is my promise? Hunger, thirst, heat, bloody wounds, and death in exchange for freedom. Who is with me?" "A multitude of willing hands and enthusiastic hearts," was his answer. Beloved brethren, we also answered a similar question, and nobody assured us that the way that we chose would be easy and straight. To the contrary, Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Mark 8:34. Great purposes require great sacrifices, and let the realization of our noble goal, the most beautiful in the world, help us. Suffering and experiences that touch us constitute the cross that we promise to carry to the very end. Additionally, we are not alone in this way. We have brethren walking beside us in the same direction, as well as the always present help from above. All the paths of Jehovah are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Psalm 25, verse 10. With great love and silence, we look toward Golgotha, where a great teacher of truth suffered and died. The truth is great happiness. The Apostle Paul reminded Timothy that, quote, "the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth." 1 Timothy 3:15. In times when lies and error dominates in the world, when sin reigns, the mission of the church is to proclaim the truth. It is on us, the pillars, where God's truth rests. Let us comprehend the enormity of this statement and the great responsibility associated with it. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth and no lie, and even it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified.
to get up. And we are going to listen to the prayer.
I apologize, we have no audio. Today, once more, we thank you that we have come from all over this world to this place to comfort one another, to strengthen, to see each other, and to shake our hands. Dear God, bless us. Bless not only us, but all of our brethren, brothers and sisters scattered around the world. Please bless all people asking for your kingdom. Dear God, we ask that you bless the nation of Israel. We thank you for all the graces we receive from you. We give you praise and glory for all eternity. Amen.
The testimony meeting is going to be done by a brother from Romania. 5 p.m. Be here. This is an announcement for everyone. There is a red car, Renault Scenic, with CZ Czech Republic registration plate 3A73866 with opened windows at the parking lot near Polanica Hotel. The security staff of the hotel kindly request the owner of that car to take care of it.